Hello, this is Florian speaking.
Hello.
Hello, who's there?
Ah, Florian, how are you?
Hi, Drew. Fine, and you?
I'm well enough.
Well,
Well enough for what? I'm not sure. Maybe to be committed, perhaps.
who else
What
is in
else
the
are?
room?
I guess we'll just wait a minute.
There's a humming noise on the line. Let's see. Oh. Now it's gone.
Okay, is it back now?
Yeah, okay, then it's your line, okay.
It's me. Let me turn this. I'll put it on mute. I'll probably not have a lot to say today, so I'll just sit and listen.
Yeah, no problem. It's fascinating. We can fly to the moon, but phone calls have echoes and noises, and that's sometimes really strange. Hello.
Hello, hello Florian.
Hi, Charles.
Hello Florian.
Drew is here as
Hello
well.
Charles.
Ah.
Hello Drew.
I have to be
Anything?
on mute the whole time because apparently I'm injecting noise onto the line.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Okay, my ex-wife used to put me on mute all the time too, so I'm used to
Oh.
Let's wait for Italo. He sent, for those who didn't spot, he sent a link to the wiki page with some marketing work items, and I think he has prioritized them. And that's probably one thing we're going to discuss about today.
Okay.
Let's wait a few more minutes.
I just put that link on the IRC channel.
Which channel are you in? Document Foundation? Or?
Yes, but I can be someplace else if you want.
I think I'd join. Just open up IRC, that's a good idea. Do some advertising for the call. Hello?
Hello, who just joined? Somebody just go to the toilet?
Hello, Italo speaking. Hi.
Hi,
Hello,
Italo.
Italo.
Florian here.
So I had a computer crash just when I was dialing to the conference, so I had to switch everything off and on again.
Okay.
It's timely crashes.
Hello, who just joined? This is Florian speaking.
Hi, Florian. My name is Craig Olafson. I'm calling from San Francisco.
Hello, nice
Hi.
to hear you.
Hello, Craig.
Cheers.
Charles Schulz speaking as well. Welcome.
Hello, Charles. My apologies for dialing in late.
No problem.
No, you're actually quite on time.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Always a few minutes until people are there. So, I just repeat, Italo has posted a link to the Marketing Work Items wiki page, and it might be helpful if everybody has opened this page in the browser.
Very good.
So I
Overall, congratulations on the release of 3.5. We're getting a lot of feedback from users saying that they like it. They like the direction that LeapOffice is going in.
Yeah, it was really amazing to see the news. I honestly didn't expect so much positive news, and people were really totally excited. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, today we're making the front line of Ars Technica.
Wow. Right. Actually, I read that blurb. Very well. Very well represented.
Italo is doing a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Not me. The press. The media. I'm just cheating the media. So. The media is falling into my trap.
Brilliant. I would love to learn how you build traps like that, Italo.
It's easy. You just tell them what happened. You know,
exactly.
It's so easy when you get. I mean, you have to tell positive things, but it's just a question of telling. We have never really told the media anything that was not real.
Yep.
Of course, at first it was maybe more difficult to believe in what we were telling them, but we have never told them, you know, we doing this for, we have just told them what, and I think that this is the real strength of the message, that the message is real.
Yes.
You know, I've been in marketing for 30 years, and I know how much there is in terms of smoke sent to the eyes of the media, you know, and this is amazing. I've done it myself, you know, and sometimes you discover it after, because you get a brief for your from a company, and sometimes you're not knowledgeable enough to understand where the reality stops and when, you know, the marketing hype starts. And then you issue a press release. It happened to me, actually, a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I issued a press release for a client. I run a PR agency on my daily job. And I got a phone call from a journalist after a couple of hours that told me, Italo, but do you already know what there was in the press release? I said, yes, actually, not 100%, but I cannot know 100% of the contents of any press release that I issue, because I would be the Leonardo da Vinci of information technology, because it's I've done that for over 500 companies. If I knew everything about 500 companies,
it's
just not human. And he told me, do you know that they are selling for new something that has been just been refused by the market 9 years ago? And I said, no, of course I don't, because otherwise I would never send out this press release as it is. And thank you for telling me. And so I called the journalist and I apologized myself for having sent such a press release. I said, but of course this is not my fault, but I want to tell you that, you know, it was a fault probably done in good faith, because they were they told me, and actually the name of the company in Europe is quite a large name. It's a European company, a German company, quite a large one, very large one. Mm-hmm. And and so I had to send them a letter and say, sorry, this is the last time I send a press release for you, because I don't want to damage my reputation. So if you think, you know, that I'm a jolly guy that wants to his reputation to be damaged by yourself telling lies to the press, this is not me. You can find someone else on the market. And I think that what you have done for TDF is just that we have been able, because this is, I think, it's the positive part. We have been able to tell the truth.
Absolutely.
Yes. I understand that in your line of work, all you have is your reputation, and all you can offer is trust. And once that's broken, you become a lot less valuable to those around you. So I can certainly understand why you would do that.
Hello, who just joined?
Hello. Hello.
Hello, who just joined?
Hello.
Hello, who just joined?
Okay. Someone shy, probably. Don't be shy, we're all kind and nice.
Yeah. Especially when I'm inside the, you know, when I'm talking to the other, to the Document Foundation people. Otherwise, you should remember the bastard inside trademark.
Okay, I just have three small items on my very personal agenda. Maybe I can just quickly go through them, and then I'd like to pass over the microphone, so to say, to you, Italo. I just wanted to express a thank you, of course, to anyone involved with 3.5, but also to those picking up the CBIT topic. I think Drew was one of those involved here, so thanks a lot for that. I don't know if it still works out, but anyway, it's good to see that when there is a need, people gather and work on topics, and I'm pretty sure that any materials we come up with will be also helpful for future events. So thanks a lot for that. Just as a background note, we will be on we will be at CBIT, which takes place from March 6th to, I don't know, 10th or so in Germany, one of the larger trade shows, a rather important one. And should anyone from TDF want to join, let us know. We have our TDF booth there, and anyone interested in helping out is, of course, pretty welcome. So much for CBIT. Then maybe a catch-up with one of the last marketing calls. I think it was during last summer or so, quite a while ago. Something that's still on my agenda and that I like to work on with Italo is to create a bit of a stronger marketing network. Right now it's a few people engaged in marketing, and if you remember previously we had marketing roles appointed. I don't know if we should make it that formal, but having some responsible contacts in various countries, having a workflow for translating press releases and local contacts can even can make our marketing even stronger. So that's something right now that all the legal details on the foundation should be clarified, I'd like to work on. That is a follow-up. And then there's maybe one thing we can discuss during that call, but it depends on what points Italo has. It's the request that we have seen about modifying the community logo, because my personal opinion is that I'm not overly happy with having too many modifications, but maybe that's something we can discuss about. So that's from my side for the moment.
I would say, I think it's already pretty, it's already a serious workload that you just outlined, so I'm happy to follow that. Do you want to, is it okay if we address this logo modification thing now, or would you like to do that later or a different call?
I'll leave it up to Italo, whatever he has in mind for this call.
No, I mean, it's, you know, that is something that I'm really not really worried about. I understand that people need to have a logo somewhere they can work at, but...
So perhaps, Italo, what we can do is perhaps think specifically about what we can do to create and build an active marketing team first.
Yeah. I think
it's important.
It's key now.
Okay, and then just to jump in, then let's move the logo discussion to the next BOD call or so, or even discuss it on list solely. And then for the marketing...
I would even point out that this is not so much a market. I mean, it is a discussion that belongs in part to the marketing topic, but... In fact, not so much if you consider the thing, the question in its globality.
Yeah. And for the marketing network, I totally leave it up to Italo. I just wanted to know that I did not forget about it, that it's a point we should work on. We can do it now or later on, but I'd like to hand over the microphone to Italo. So
before
you
do that, can I just throw in one thing on the last point about the network?
Yeah, sure.
I assume everybody saw the email from Sophie regarding ambassadors versus marketing. I thought that,
right.
I think that's pretty a pretty good point. When we come back to that subject, we should really look at how some of these other communities that do it more as ambassadors versus marketing.
Good afternoon.
Hello. Who joined?
Hello.
Hello.
Cora speaking. Sorry that I'm late.
Hi, Cora. Cool to hear from you.
Hi.
Hello, Cora. My train was delayed, and I was in the wrong room, number 2. Sorry.
Okay.
Hi. Who are there?
Italo.
Hi, Italo.
Charles.
Hi.
Florian's here.
Hi, Florian.
Hello, Cora.
Craig Olofsson.
Sorry?
Craig.
Hi, Craig.
Hello.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello is hello?
Hi.
Okay,
so,
sorry.
I think that we, of course, the topic of increasing the number of people contributing is a very strong one, and we should work on that. And the concept of ambassadors, and there is something similar that was pointed out by someone else about a Mozilla kind of similar project, which is not, they don't call them ambassadors, but I think that the name is just a detail in this case. Of course, we need to get more people involved, and I think that we need to get more people becoming members as well, because I think that it is important to have people that feels at home at the Document Foundation and contributes to the growth of the community, and contributing is sometimes bringing your wisdom inside the communities. Sometimes it's not just to do things. Sometimes it's just to provide your thoughts about something that happens, because that is equally important, in my opinion. So I think that. Just to have a quick, I think that I've shared the link to the work items. I've tried to give a kind of prioritization by adding pluses around it, but this is just my personal idea, and we might do. Completely, we might decide that we go in a completely different direction. That is fine as well. But I think that we should work around something like improving and adding stuff to this page so that we can start working around this page as a benchmark for what we are doing, because otherwise we don't have any control, we don't have any kind of project management around what we are doing, while it's better to focus maybe on 3-4 points, but then bring these 3-4 points ahead and make them a reality in a short time. Making progress is important. We should make progress in a rather quick way on some of these topics, and I would like to see some of them having go to the final status. I've just written a number of topics. There might be maybe 5 times as many if we go into a real marketing project. Some of them are more detailed, like competition or ecosystem. Of course, it's some are less have a lower priority, some have a higher priority. Now that 3.5 has been announced, I want to work and release certification, because this is starting to become, I get phone calls from people asking me when the certification program is starting. So this means that there is a real interest around it. And I know that there are projects, at least in Italy, where, in order to start working in the public administration, they will ask companies to be certified by open source projects.
May I interrupt? May I add something? Core speaking.
Sure.
Yes. Hi. One step back. I like your approach, as you pointed out, that we choose a few of the items as written on the work item page, so that we can really do something on, let's say, two or three things, rather than having dozens of them that takes years. So I think that's an effective approach. I support that idea. And looking at what you added as pluses, well, there are quite some items with the pluses, but well, okay. I think it's good, and maybe we can just pick two or three of them, or is that too few for the moment?
But Core, you can take away all the pluses. I won't be offended. I mean, this is my. You know,
yeah,
this was my proposal, just as a...
I know, but
just,
I like
just
the
to start
proposal.
A discussion.
I like to start the
discussion.
Okay. Yes.
But you know that even if I'm a marketer, I'm usually a nice guy.
Yes. But I like your choice. No objections from me. I think
so, as far as... For myself, my background is in product marketing,
mm-hmm.
and when I first made an effort to do something with the LibreOffice TDF communities, I signed on to a couple of mail groups, and instantly became overwhelmed with the amount of information, communication, and the depth and breadth of these communities. I mean, you all have been around for quite a while now, and it is a bit daunting for someone new to come on board. But in looking at Italo's list or the markup he's done in prioritizing, I can see how this looks like a very good start at something that I can jump into. So, for example, if I'm reading this correctly, it looks like there's a fair amount of emphasis on market intelligence. So I see three plus signs after the entries for SWOT analysis, pest analysis, and a database of reference users. Am I correct in saying that these are considered top or near the top as far as priorities for marketing?
These are important in Italo speaking. In my opinion, are important because there is one major fault in generally speaking when open source projects approach marketing. They do marketing based on enthusiasm, and they don't do marketing based on what the outside world sees in the project. And
yes.
I think that we should be very, on the contrary, we should be really aware of our strengths, weaknesses, you know, the environment. So for people that is not not used to marketing terms, PEST
mm-hmm.
is political, economical, social, technical. So that is
yes.
What happens around us and how people judge us under these kind of analysis. And I think that we have to improve our self-awareness in that sense, because it gives us a better strength when we are going to present PDF and LibreOffice in a public environment, and public with public I mean in the open market, because we will be increasingly confronted with Microsoft Office and with commercial products. And so we, you know, for a basic user, free software has a different meaning than for ourselves. Then we are involved in a free software project, so we see free software as a choice. The end user sees free software kind of like a buzzword, and you know, this is free, so it means that I'm not paying it. It's maybe developed by some nice guys that do that during their free time, but you know, it's the free as in freedom that for us is important. It's not important for the basic users. So we have to confront the basic users like if we were, I would say, a kind of Microsoft Office. Then, of course, once the end users is hooked by the software, then we have all the time to explain him all the advantages of having made a safe choice, a free choice, and so on. But free as in freedom is not a selling point. Free as in freedom is a consequence of having adopted the product and understanding that you've done a very good choice, which has a positive and ethical background that you probably would have never thought of before using the product. So this is why I insist on something which many times has been considered like useless for a free software project, because I think that in a marketplace, free software is a competitor of proprietary software. It's not different or better. It's just a competitor. And we have to act as a competitor. So market intelligence is there because of this main idea. Of course, then we have all the ethical strength that we use. But, you know, I think that just saying, like I've been told many times, you know, open source doesn't need marketing just because it's a different kind of software. This, I think, is, sorry for the word, is bullshit.
Okay. Understand.
So I don't want to sell LibreOffice, of course. I don't want to start making the same Microsoft marketing, but I want to have the weapons that a company like Microsoft, or similar weapons that a company like Microsoft has got for its product, and when we are confronted, we talk business as much as Microsoft talks business. Mm-hmm. Then we have advantages there.
Can we, if we just, core speaking, if we just look at the initial pluses as you put them there, we know it's not that you think it must be this way, but it is just to open the discussion. There are items marked in the more simple, let's say, practical chapters as create a nice banner, and there are items marked in the more strategic stuff, like I thought Greg was speaking, just mentioned the SWOT analysis. So since we can't do all together, and maybe something as a banner is relatively easy for someone who just passes by with the right skills. You could ask that something.
Oh, yes, of course.
The first idea that comes to my mind, easy hacks for marketing.
Okay.
I'm sorry, one more time?
You know, the easy hacks that we have for developers, basically There are rather easy tasks, so to say, where experienced developers point to certain areas, and they also support developers, and something like that, easy hacks for marketing, just as a working title, where we can have easy tasks and point people how to do it, where to look at, to get them involved more. Maybe mentoring might be a too strong word, but give them some advice and then take them by the hand. You know what I mean?
For me at least, the work items page that I guess Italo has worked on recently would be that, and I think it would be just easy to just say in the community, hey, look, here's the easy hacks for marketing page. It's already done, in other words, right?
Yeah, but we need to market that page then, because the Easy Hacks page is really Easy Hacks is a catchy term, and it's been promoted all of the time, and just from a gut feeling, work items sounds, you know, boring. It's, of course, Easy Hacks is nothing else than work items, but making it a bit more attractive, you know what I mean, to get people into that.
Yes, Florian.
Okay.
I wanted to call the page Easy Hacks, but the page was already there. And you know that I'm a terrible technical user, so I had to leave work items. But you know that you are technically better than me, so anyone that changes that into marketing Easy Hacks, I will kiss him. Okay, virtually, of course.
If I change, can you please not kiss me?
No, virtually kissing you. Virtually kissing you. Not
hey
physically.
Guys.
Just virtually.
Yeah,
of course.
Yes.
Or wants to say something. Of course, it is good to have it promoted easily, attractively, too. Could there be a chance that that our work gets confused with developers, that people say, oh, it's easy hacking all over, so, or is it just no risk that people get confused, or that hackers, developers say, hey, what are you doing with our easy hack flag?
Craig again, I don't know the community that well, but it's my experience in the for-profit that if engineering has shown that this is to their benefit, they're happy with it. I can't imagine there's going to be confusion. And as a matter of fact, if there's some kind of attempt to have an organization-wide easy hacks kind of resource. I don't know how to put it, but there are a lot of people out there who, you know, they hear the term easy hacks for engineering or coding, and still they're intimidated. But if they hear that there's easy hacks for marketing, easy hacks for whatever component of LibreOffice and TDF, that might be helpful. I think, in other words, that the term can be expanded without losing value for any particular component.
Okay. Well, that sounds convincing.
There was something else. Excuse me for interrupting again. Craig here. I look at one of these things. I look at a couple of these high-profile items to work on, say, for example, in marketing intelligence, and say the SWOT and PEST analyses in particular. And what strikes me is LibreOffice's the TDF and LibreOffice are global organizations, and I feel very small, but I have not done a SWOT or a PEST for a global organization.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we has that been attempted before?
I would say yes, just outside of the realm of pure marketing. Sorry, that was Charles speaking. I've seen, I've practiced that myself in other fields, but you will see that such analysis still belongs to the field of strategic analysis for all sorts of things, situations and large organizations as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm sorry, your name again?
That was Charles.
Charles, thank you, Charles.
You're welcome.
This is Drew. Can I ask you a question, Craig? Would you be interested in doing those two analyses with a focus not on the globe but on North America?
If that is considered of value, yes.
Absolutely. You know, anything
okay.
that volunteers do is a value.
Very good. No, I would be happy to do that. I'm comfortable with SWATs. I have yet to attempt a PEST, but I'm a political animal, so I don't see any problem with it.
You know, I don't think that we have to do the best exercise in the world. I think that if we have an exercise, I think that, and if it's only for North America, I think that the market is not so completely different. Even if done for North America, can give a very good insight in for other markets as well.
Speaking and looking from the perspective of in the Netherlands. In my experience, there already is quite a difference when you compare the Netherlands with, for example, France or Germany. So I think just the perception of people, how easily they follow the market leader Microsoft, or how open-minded they are for non-default, non-standard products. I think that can differ a lot in various countries. Nevertheless, part of your analysis always is useful and valid, but I doubt if analysis for Germany would be easily transferred, could be easily transferred to the Netherlands, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But I might be pessimistic.
Yeah, well, that's the reason I asked about him doing North America, because his question was doing it on a global scale, and I was wondering, does it make sense to try to do it on a global scale, or does it make more sense to do it in your local region, wherever that region happens to be?
I think that's better to start with, at least do it in your own region. For
but
example,
I'm sorry. I was going to say what I would be doing is it's understood, for example, that each country has their own distinct markets, but you know, I from over here in my ignorance, I look at the Eurozone as a market. So I'd imagine we could pull off a SWAT and PEST based on the Eurozone, correct?
Yes and no, but you know, the fact is that we have nothing. So just having one, it's a kind of starting point, then it's easier to adapt the US one to Europe than to adapt nothing to nothing. Try to be pragmatic. If you have one, then we can adapt. If you have zero, you don't adapt anything. Then, of course, core, we speak two completely different languages. You know, I mean, Italy, you are in the Netherlands, Germany is another stuff. We are totally different. Europe is a puzzle, we know. But at least we have a reference. And for instance, economy at the moment is not so different worldwide. We are in a similar economy with similar problems around, unfortunately, worldwide. The social is not so different. Of course, the strengths and weaknesses in single market might be different, but at least if we have a benchmark, that is, this comparison, this assessment for the United States, then at least we can say it's not going to work in Europe. At the moment, we cannot say anything, just because we don't have anything.
Right.
Yes,
I think
agree.
Starting
from
one, it's already 100% more than we have today.
Agree.
Understood.
So that's a yes, you're going to take the shot? Sorry,
yeah, absolutely. I think that taking it for the United States is wonderful. You know, guys, please be realistic. We are 8 people in a conference call talking about a product who is a competitor of Microsoft Office that alone is $28 billion turnover and $1 billion market research budget. $1 billion, okay? So we cannot be realistically competing with Microsoft. The reality is that we are realistically competing with them, and this is the wonderful stuff that open source can do. And so start small, a small step for LibreOffice, a giant step for humanity. Please remember.
Yes. Yes, I, you know what I understand, again, this is Craig, Italo, and it's a point very well taken. There's plenty of vaporware out there. And, as it concerns, LibreOffice and our marketing, efforts, something is better than nothing. So let's rectify that.
Exactly.
I'll take on, what I've just written in IRC is, that, what I will do is I will, scope the work for a SWOT and a PEP for North America, and I will report back an email or Thursday, say the following Thursday, so that's the 23rd.
Yeah, but don't worry about being so quick. I mean, it's, you know.
No, this is just the scoping.
Sure.
It is a scope.
Okay.
A copy, huh?
Good.
Okay.
I noticed also about the marketing page, again, Craig, excuse me for talking so much.
No.
But there is a fair amount... You know, in my profile, when I came on board, there were two things of interest or concern regarding LibreOffice. One in particular is the cloud play and how that affects LibreOffice. And I see in the marketing that there is some incidental conversation and mention in the press about the work of one developer for LibreOffice in doing something, a web-based project, right? But also there is what we're seeing in California, at least, is a mass, a very large adoption by organizations of the Google Apps. Are you familiar with Google Apps, everyone?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay. So where we're seeing, could you repeat that?
Maryland's gone completely to Google Apps. Everything.
See, the city of Seattle. If anybody is into irony, the city of Seattle converted over to Google Apps. So where we're seeing a lot of it right now is in government and public education, where they're strapped for money, but they're also seeing the benefits of, say, having, the benefits of cloud. I'm not going to get into that. One of the pieces that I think is missing in LibreOffice, and I'm not sure how to approach it, is to have some kind of interoperability or connectivity with Google Apps, Google Docs. And I don't know if anybody's working on that right now within LibreOffice.
So, Craig, this is Charles speaking. So
I think you're raising some very good points. I'm going to start by making you an almost Apple-like answer. There is a team who's working, I wouldn't say confidentially, because this is not confidential, as we're making sometimes announcements in the press, and you can see demos sometimes running, and we give out, we speak at conferences, only very recently in Brussels at Fosdem, for instance, we demoed something. But So
there
is something in the works, and in fact, it's very open, since you can, Drew here is your man if you want to know how to run a very early or alpha stage instance of LibreOffice online. But you can actually run this already by downloading the 3.5, LibreOffice 3.5. There are specific settings you have to activate, and you will be able to run LibreOffice in your browser. Just by saying this, I'm not saying a lot, simply because these things are not ready yet. We are, in fact, and we've been looking, we're still looking, to set up the proper funding structure to allow a series of developers to work full-time, at least for a certain period of time, on making sure that we have a completely working LibreOffice online solution. I think that the interactions that you have noted between something from LibreOffice, let's say, and Google Apps is at some point going to be necessary, because there will be people who will want to use, and hear my expression, because this is a very accurate one, they will want to use the Google document storage as a service.
Yes.
But I think that the value of LibreOffice online, as in an office suite that works and that runs inside a browser, is going to come from precisely public sector, who cannot, for a variety of reasons, run Google Docs, and who would still like to do that. Another market will run LibreOffice online. Have you ever seen a demo of LibreOffice online? Because there's
yes, I have.
Okay. So what you will automatically see is that it is LibreOffice on the web, but it is not a clone of Google Docs. It is our very own LibreOffice online, which means that we will also appeal to another market who believes and who has tested LibreOffice, Google Docs, and believes it is not feature complete enough. I know some potential users who will actually tell you that Google Docs is not a satisfactory solution for them just because of that. At this point, I think that we will appeal to the market of people or customers who cannot be using or who do not want to use Google Docs for, let's say, privacy reasons, and I think that will be your very first target. We're not just thinking about LibreOffice online. We're actually, some of us are very busy trying to make it a reality.
Yes. Good. I'll follow up offline.
Okay.
Thank you.
But the LibreOffice online is not so much an interoperability story with Google Docs. That's more of an alternative to Google Docs. If an organization has chosen to go with Google Docs, wouldn't an interoperability story more be like you can paste this URL to your Google Docs into LibreOffice? And edit your document in LibreOffice and have it saved back to Google Docs. Wouldn't that more be an interoperability story?
Go ahead, Drew.
Core, I think you're right on that. I also think we've got a problem with Google. For example, I was using their presentation package the other day. And, you only have two forms, you only have two ways to export it, well, three, as text, as PDF, or as PPTX. So, I mean, Google looks like they're going to move. I sent some email off to somebody I know who's kind of involved there. And what I got back was, you know, they don't, ODT is not really, or ODF isn't really on the screen for them on that. That's a new, you know, they have new guys developing that little piece, and they're told it's OOXML is where they're going. So, I probably shouldn't have said that in an open thing, but that's the way it looks, you know. And that's going to be an issue if we stick really, really hard with ODF and play down the interoperability on the PPTX. We're going to have, you know, we're going to have some problems there. Because right now it's pretty limited what they export, but the interoperability is always going to be an issue. It doesn't really matter who the package is. But
Drew, if I can add something here, it's not just the interoperability. Well, maybe it is. I'm busy working on my wedding preparations, and we've been using Google Docs in this spreadsheet, and I have been absolutely appalled by how a simple Excel and ODS or Open Document spreadsheet can actually not translate into a Google spreadsheet. I mean, really, I'm talking simple things. So many things inside Google Docs are actually not working that well. You know,
no.
I think it appeals to people who want to write a letter collaboratively. This is great; it works just fine. But as soon as you want to do something a little bit more elaborate, and really something just a little bit more elaborate, you may run into a series of issues you had no idea to happen.
It's reality that people are not happy with. With Google Docs for more complicated stuff. So.
No, but the problem is.
I go with what Craig is saying. Google Docs is, they just ate up the state I live in. I mean, the state a year ago just came out. They put in their first test systems, and as of 6 months ago, our entire university system has gone to Google apps. Our entire state government is switching, and I mean, right down the line, DMV is going over, everything's going over to Google Docs. And I just read through a request for a proposal from the feds, I don't know, about a month ago, and I'll guarantee you, I used to do some proposal writing for government contracts, and they spend a lot of time writing those with very specific statements because they know who they want to win the contract. And you read this spec, you know who it is they want to give the federal contract to, and it's Google. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and which is why IBM is getting in on the play, I think. I think IBM's going to go after that same contract. But I'm just guessing.
So, Drew, I think that's where you will find a very important difference, let's say, outside of the United States, because obviously what you're describing, for instance, the need to and to save money is pretty much the same here as it would be in the U.S. But when it comes to a public sector moving to an online office suite, they're saying yes, sure, and then it's Google, and Google doesn't have a bad image. But everybody knows that you cannot simply transfer the Ministry of Interior's, the French Ministry of Interior data, all over to Google Docs, because because you're not going to host this in the United States.
We don't agree. We don't. I don't. There's a huge difference, I think, between Europe and the U.S.
So it's a matter of national sovereignty. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of.
But you trust private contractors to do all your work anyway. I mean, so what's the difference?
Because the private
contractor
is actually going to.
Hello? Hello? May I interrupt some people? Is it useful at this moment, because I find myself looking at mails, is it useful to discuss this in so many details, or is it something that we can put into Swatch or whatever?
I'm not so sure, because I think we're having a quite of a different perception, and I think it's good to understand that, for instance, for a European, Google Docs for a European administration might not be that much of a compelling solution, whereas it's different from, let's say, for an American or a U.S.-based administration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Corey's right. We're kind of getting into the weeds here. We don't need to do that.
But you see, I mean, all I'm trying to say here is that there might be actually differences in market perception. I can tell you that here you will have, of course, many companies who already migrated to Google Docs. Don't get me wrong. But I have been in, I could quote, a dozen meetings, business meetings, with the French public sector, and I can name at least a couple others in Germany and Spain and Italy. And every time they're saying, we're very happy with the feature set of Google Docs, and we believe that Google is actually quite a secure a solution. But unless the data is hosted here in this country, we're just not going to get it.
Oh, right. Okay, I understand. I understand what you're saying. Because in our case, if you go with Google, it is hosted in our country. So, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. So that was my point. The point is not to choose an American contractor. You will find the IBM being at the core and Microsoft being at the core of the French Ministry of Defense. But it will have to be, in theory, submitted to the French laws by French workers, for instance. And that would be the same over in the U.S. You know, you're not exporting French consultants working for a French company and put them right into the DoD. So there will be specific laws when you're working with the public sector, at least from, let's say, the federal, the central public sector. All of a sudden, you're going to have a whole set of written and non-written requirements on these things.
I think this is Craig again. I very good points. My understanding is, first of all, just for clarification, with cloud computing the way it exists and virtualizations of servers, where a server is physically is anybody's guess, but we're talking about jurisdictions. And I understand that not just governments and NGOs are concerned about having their information hosted on in U.S. jurisdictions, but also private companies as well. So actually that works in LibreOffice's favor in more ways than one. But I understand also that we are getting into the weeds, as was said, so I'm happy to move on. Did we have anything else on the agenda that we needed to cover?
I have a question of a very simple nature, very practical. When I look, speaking for the Netherlands, we sometimes try to get on speed. How do I say? When there is a press release. But we need some time to prepare it for our own country to do the translation and the checking. It would be helpful if we try in the international group to have the press releases announcements ready, let's say, 1 or 2 days earlier than it's currently. But of course, that needs some discipline that we are able to make a different planning. But it would be very helpful for us, at least.
Yeah, I agree. It's I think several points come together here. One is I don't want to discuss it in detail. That we need to get more people involved, so the work of translating and localizing is not always tied to the same people, but especially this week was rather busy for me, and then translating the 3.5 release had really to be done in a rush. If we can have at least very close to final version with approved quotes, maybe at least 1 day before, better 2 days before, would be pretty helpful, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. You know, sometimes the problem is that you just don't have the time to do that before.
I know.
Yeah, sure.
I know. So it's not to blame someone, but to express the wish. It would be helpful, at least for us, if we could try to put it a day earlier.
Yeah,
I myself, I had to translate into Italian at weird hours because I, you know, I have the English but not the Italian, which is funny, but this is the reality. So that's, but, you know, I think that 3.5 was also, we did something additional that was producing the infographic that I think, you know, the first time you do it, it's more complicated than the second time is going to be, because I would like to have the infographic translated as well.
Of course.
And that I think now we can probably work on that. I can circulate the original, the ODG, and then we can have it. And let's say that for 3.6, we will have a even better announcement. You know, Cor, if we did everything perfect for 3.5, we could not improve for 3.6.
Well, and the Dutch announcement certainly has to be better, because I did it in a rush. There was no time for others to check it, and well, were quite some mistakes in it, but it's okay.
same here, but nonetheless, interesting to see what a deep impact this one had. I was really totally thrilled and amazed.
No, but in the Netherlands, we have no impact at all. There's only one sort of technical website that picks the news up, but the main IT websites in the Netherlands are not that much, but they didn't pick it up at all until now. It's a bit boring situation here.
Okay.
People are too slow.
Okay, not sad to hear.
So we have to work on that.
Actually, Florian, we should see if it had an impact on downloads.
Yeah. Indeed, I will try to actually can do this right now to get out the current numbers. That's a good point.
And also, if we can have also the January download, because we didn't update the download graph, and it would be nice to update that. But you know, it's if we have time, of course, it's not something. Actually, we had you know, we had a huge. I think if you look at the United States, it's just crazy. We had a huge impact because there were some key people reposting the announcement, and this has really had a very, because I think the most notable is Dan Gilmore. Dan Gilmore was the San Jose Mercury News technical editor for years, and not only he has Googled Plus the announcement, but yesterday he also donated to the Document Foundation. So I think it's you know, it's quite positive.
Okay.
Currently, excuse me, this is Craig again. Currently, Dan Gilmore is the director for an organization called Center for Citizen Media, very active in what I would refer to as the new wave of journalism, in at least in the United States.
Yeah, he's a professor at the Arizona State University.
Ah, very good, very good.
Yeah. He's a professor. There is a Walter Cronkite School of Journalism where he's teaching. I know that quite well because I've got two masters from that school. So I had the chance of studying with Walter Cronkite myself. So that, you know.
Brilliant.
Anyone lower than Walter. I'm not going to speak with anyone lower than Walter Cronkite.
That explains
that
why
leaves
I
me out.
We're off on a boat.
What has explained, Drew?
I've noticed you referencing sailing from time to time, and now I see the connection with Walter Cronkite.
Yeah,
who was
a nice guy, by the way.
My area as a huge sail enthusiast.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, can I just add one thing? You mentioned about the downloads. You wanted to check the downloads.
Yeah.
I just tell we're not really set up to do this yet, but I'll tell you a way, another way that I used to track, or another metric I used to track. When I actually would track the logs in the user forums, and I could tell real quick how the uptake was going with releases, and even minor releases, because I would see statistically significant changes every time. I also I would track sometimes mailing lists. Well, that was a lot more work because I didn't really have decent access to it. But you would see some there too. I kind of did an analysis, I don't know, about 6 months ago, I suppose, where I got as much information as I could get from as many different sources as I could to see if I could see some other trends. And the one thing that I did find, there had been something, I used to have this little data point that would show up every now and then on an irregular basis, but it was this little spike that would happen in user signups, and I had a hard time trying to figure out where it was coming from. And I think I finally found the correlation, which was, and this is historical now because this is now gone, but it was the it was tied in time with Java releases, and you know they were doing that advertisement for OpenOffice on the Java installer, and sure enough, I could tie that time when the Java had a release that we would see this little uptick in user signups, and then it would trail off just exactly the kind of signature I was seeing on minor releases, not anything near the size we'd get on major releases, but there'd be this little the same same tendency. So I meant to say something about that when I first noticed it, and I keep forgetting, because a couple of times, we've talked about we didn't lose anything, but that was a steady little piece of advertising that we don't have. And at some point, it'd be nice to try to, I was thinking I first want to talk to some of the developers, but I think it would make sense for somebody to talk with EnterpriseDB and see if they wouldn't be interested, once we get probably 3.6 out, of adding LibreOffice to their install stack tool, which is, I've used it to install Postgres a number of times, and then it comes back and it offers to install stuff that works with Postgres. And I was thinking it would be really slick to get them to add that into their tool. So it's another spot where every time there's a release on the Postgres package, people are going to get a screen put in front of them going, hey, by the way, LibreOffice works with this out of the box. Do you want to install it right now? And that's
excuse me, Drew?
Yeah.
Question, Craig here. What was the package you're referring to?
EnterpriseDB, which is the commercial side of Postgres, but they also distribute the community version. They have.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
When you install theirs, you can install it through what they call a stack tool, which is basically it's a click, and it does everything for you, and you've got a fully functioning system. It's really slick. But the last thing they do is it comes up, and it shows you the other things that you can install right there. You can bring up an install to, and I was thinking since we're going to work with that out of the package, we might want to contact them and if they might want to get it in there.
It's not that straightforward. There's no one commercial side of Postgres by design. They have multiple companies backing them. So it's not one-to-one. But on the point of metrics that could be tracked, since there's now an automatic update in LibreOffice, those update pings could tell how many users that are, not just downloads. So that might also be a metric that would want to track.
Sorry, who just talked?
I'm Anders. I'm from the website team. I'm just looking.
Okay.
Always mention your name first. By the way, my name is Corey.
And my name is Charles.
Cor speaking, always name mentioning your name first. Okay. Hi, Andros. Guys, some people demand me to stop this call to go somewhere else. Is there something really urgent or that I should know right now or respond to right now?
I'm fine. And I think Florian has to leave.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I would like to leave anyway. If you want to stay in the room, Italo, did you dial in with the moderator pin or with the regular pin?
No, I didn't.
Okay, this means as soon as I hang up, the room is closed. So in case you want to stay longer, someone else has to dial in again with the moderator pin.
Okay.
No, I'm good. I'm done.
Okay.
I'm finished as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that I would suggest just one last thing is to, if you want not to update the marketing easy hacks or work items, just send an email. I will update it and put some owners on the tasks, I think. And then we will maybe have another call in 1 month, 1 month and a half to have an update, and we can easily update ourselves by circulating emails on the mailing list.
Yeah, definitely.
Craig here. One last thing for me. May I get a show of hands? How many people are in North America right now besides myself? Drew, you are, correct?
Sorry?
Okay. Mark.
Drew and Mark,
I'm in
Drew
Canada.
And Mark.
No, I didn't hear you.
Okay, so I will email you two just to follow up from our meeting today a bit.
Or email it to the U.S. marketing list, or maybe include both.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
very good.
We'll do. Both. I'm subscribed to both mailing lists, so it's I read everything, even if sometimes I'm not writing, but I read everything. Italo speaking, of course, but my Italian accent behind the English, it's easy to catch.
I'm Charles, and I'm French, and I live in Paris.
Okay.
Salut, Charles.
Was it your Italian accent, Italo? I always thought it was your nice, pleasant voice that was so astonishing, so recognizable.
Yeah, but, you know, it's also my accent is quite strong.
Okay, good. Hey, guys.
I think at least. I mean,
look forward to meeting you again.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pleasure to talk to all of you.
Absolutely,
and I'll
a pleasure.
Something on the mail too. Thanks.
We should have those calls more often in the future.
Yeah. Definitely. Absolutely.
Very good.
Okay, thanks for joining.
Bye bye, guys.
And have a
Thank
nice
you.
Day.
Bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. Bye bye.